fired up for a big weekend of conference championship football.
Well, like we've said all week, Craig, I think the best four teams in the NFL, at least by this point in the season, are the four teams that are playing. I think that Cincinnati clearly demonstrated that they're better than Buffalo last week by going up there and winning. And, for the vast majority of the season, Philadelphia was considered, if not the best, certainly one of the best teams in football, as were the Chiefs. And the 49ers are just red hot, with Brock Purdy at quarterback. And the 49er, I think they're 53-man roster as good as anybody. So, Craig, like we've talked about all week, I think the best four teams are left playing. I cannot wait for the games. Sure, I wish my favorite team was in it, but that's okay. Well, I hope and I think we will have two excellent football games on Sunday.
Well, it sure looks that way. And Matt, I don't know which way to go on these games. I don't think Vegas knows, because basically they're saying both of them are like toss-ups. I mean, what, the Bengals open as a favorite. Now the Chiefs are a slight favorite there. The Eagles are a slight favorite, but mainly because they're at home against San Francisco. I said coming into the playoffs, I thought coming down the stretch of the season, two hottest teams, 49ers and the Bengals.
Sure.
Both of them had long winning streaks, and I thought they would probably, that they would be my picks for the Super Bowl at the start of the playoffs. After last weekend, you look at what the Bengals did to the Giants, but is that they were facing the lesser competition in the Giants as opposed to the Cowboys that the 49ers had to play? I don't know, Matt. I really don't. Cincinnati's won three in a row, but on the other hand, can you beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs four in a row, and you got to go play in Kansas City? But that hasn't bothered this team because they just won in Buffalo and they won in Kansas City last year in the conference title game. So many different angles. You got the injury to Patrick Mahomes. You've had the injury to Jalen Hurts down the stretch. And we saw him last week look pretty darn good. But how will that factor? You got the injuries to the Bengals offensive line, which still boggles my mind, Matt, how they were missing three starters last week. Well, now, with Kappa and the right tackle who got injured last week, I don't know that they've even practiced. So is it possible that they're going with five starters that weren't even playing a couple of weeks ago? I don't know. But somehow Joe Burrow and the Bengals keep getting it done, and I do think that the Bengals defense is very underrated, and that's going to be a heck of a matchup. Watching Lou Anarumo and his defense go up against the great mind of Andy Reid. It's just going to be a fun weekend. And so the first game is the 49ers-Eagles comes at 2 o'clock our time on Sunday afternoon on Fox, and then the nightcap 5:30 game on CBS, the Bengals at the Chiefs on Sunday. So let's just start with the first one, Matt. So what are some of the keys? I mean, obviously Brock Purdy has been much talked about, and you got the quarterback matchup with Hurts and Purdy, and we talked about, the fact that they met in that game between OU and Iowa State, and it comes down to a two-point conversion, and the Sooners get out with a 42-41 win on November 9th of 2019, and now they're meeting again for the conference title, Matt.
Yeah, I don't really put much stock in the game from 3 years ago in college. I mean, I know that's a fun storyline to bring up, and
right,
especially for us around here, because we saw the game about, 20 or 30 minutes south from where you and I are at. So, I mean, it was close to home and everything, but how much that really makes a difference, I'm not sure. I don't want to become a prisoner of the moment, but, man, the Eagles looked good last week. I do think it's fair to say they were going against – a Giants team that is not as good as the Cowboys. And so the Niners had a tougher time with the Cowboys than the Eagles did with the Giants. And some of that has to do with who you're playing. But I got to tell you, I said going into the Philadelphia game last week, Craig, that I would be very interested to see what Philadelphia, how they game planned and how they used Jalen Hurts. Would they still, have a lot of RPO game in the game plan, or would they try to protect him a little bit? And just from watching that game last Saturday night, Craig, it didn't look like to me that Philadelphia was trying to shelter Jalen Hurts at all. I mean, he ran the ball several times and threw it well.
Six called runs before halftime.
Yes, correct. And then after halftime, you know, the game's out of hand and, you know, whatever happens after that. But so I was interested. That was what I had my eye on going into that game. And we got our answer with what, you know, is plainly obvious, what they did offensively. You know, Brock Purdy, he's an amazing story. I will say this, though, Craig. I know the 49ers beat the Cowboys last week. And Purdy didn't turn the ball over. And that's the bottom line. Trust me. You don't have to convince me how important it is for a quarterback to not turn the ball over. But I will say this. The times that Dallas was able to get pressure on him, I didn't think he handled it all that great in those instances. Now, it wasn't like Purdy was necessarily harassed all game long. I think an underrated part, maybe taken for granted part of this Philadelphia team is their defensive line. You know, everybody talks about, you know, the Cowboys pass rush and, you know, how much they get after the quarterback. Philadelphia was better than Dallas. They were the number one team in the league in sacks. They had four guys this year that had double-digit sacks. Probably had a couple of guys on that defensive line that did not make the Pro Bowl that should have made the Pro Bowl or been voted in or whatever. You know, they're going to do the game.
Oh, this is a team that's won 12 in a row we're talking about, and the last seven with Purdy, you know.
They have, so but they have not played a team anywhere close to the Eagles, in my opinion.
Yep. And they're playing them in Philadelphia. No, your point's well made. The pressure, Hassan Reddick, 16 sacks regular season. He had a sack and a half against the Giants in the divisional win. Daniel Jones under pressure, you know, the whole game long. And then the Eagles running game. You know, they really ran the ball. In fact, they ran it twice as much as they passed it in the blowout win, 38-7 blowout win over the Giants.
Which is very hard to do against San Francisco. And I think on the other side of the ball, that will be very interesting to watch. It's kind of the immovable force against, or the, what the, irresistible force against the immovable object a little bit. The Philadelphia running game going against that San Francisco run defense.
And their interior linebackers, Fred Warner and Drake Greenlaw.
And Greenlaw as good as anybody. Studs.
And then offensively for the Eagles, they're on their line, Jason Kelce, the center. Lane Johnson, we've talked about, the right tackle, is definitely one of the best. Jordan Mulata, is that how you say his name?
Their I believe
left
so.
Tackle.
But yeah, he's had a anyway, really good
game. The matchup is just, I mean, it's going to be great. But I did think last weekend what surprised me a little bit was just that Philly was just blowing huge holes for Miles Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell.
Against a New York defensive line that has been, you know, over the last, I don't know, last half of the season, I thought New York defensively has been pretty good up front, and Philadelphia put them wherever they wanted them.
But San Fran has maybe the defensive player of the year in Nick Bosa, 18 and a half sacks during the regular season.
And you mentioned Warner and Greenlaw and how good they are. I mean, you got it. Yep.
And Ecubon and Kinlaw, and no, they're really, really, really good. That Hufanga, the safety, four picks this year. But would it be safe to say, Matt, that San Francisco's defense may be the weakness, if they do have one? I mean, they're really good. But in the secondary, people maybe they're a little easier to throw on than run against. I don't know if you should that way, but
I would say that.
Lamore, what's his name? Diamador Lamore, whatever.
Yes,
anyway,
right.
that picked off Dak just threw the terrible first interception to him. But Treverius Ward, Jimmy Ward. I mean, Lenore. But the Eagles, the strength of their team, Matt, is Devontae Smith and AJ Brown. Those two wide receivers. Goddard made a great catch, one-handed catch on the first touchdown last week. I don't know. They just seem to be a complete team. The Eagles do to me, and they're at home.
I think they are, and I would give the slight edge to Hurts over Purdy. Maybe better than a slight edge, because to me, we said this yesterday with Pat, I personally believe if he doesn't get hurt, Jalen Hurts is going to win the MVP. Maybe Mahomes still would have beat him out. I'm pretty sure Mahomes is going to win the MVP. Mm-hmm. I think just the way he was playing at the time, if Hurts had been able to stay healthy, and finish out the regular season, you know, healthy and playing well, I think he would have been the MVP. So, yeah, there's just so many great matchups in this game, Craig. Like we said, the Eagles' running game against that front seven for San Francisco. Can they protect Hurts from Bosa? You mentioned Brown and Smith going against that Niners secondary. I would agree with you. I think you can have a little more success throwing the ball against San Francisco than running the ball if you can protect. I mean, that's a given statement. But if you can protect, I think you can have a little bit more success. Now the key there, though, Craig, for me is, you know, whatever, you know, Steichen and Sirianni think, but you don't want to get away from what you are, you know. Even though, you know, I think San Francisco's number one in the league against the run or whatever, you don't want to get away from what your identity was too much, because your identity is what has helped you get to become the best team in football. So I just think it's a fantastic, I think it's great matchups all around.
And here's the other thing, on the other side of it, the Niners running the ball. Now one question on the Niners running the football is the health of Christian McCaffrey.
And he swears he's going to play.
He says he's going to play. He hadn't been practicing. But you know, so that's a big question. But the Eagles were only number 26 in expected points added, EPA, against the run. So, you know, they had some injuries up front. The first-round pick, Jordan Davis, was injured. So they brought in, you know, the reinforcements.
Yep.
Yeah, and Dominican Sue and Linville Joseph and so forth. Howie Roseman brought in a little help in the defensive line. But, you know, you got Christian McCaffrey. You got Elijah Mitchell, all right?
Yep.
He's had 50 or more yards from scrimmage in four of his five playoff games. Deebo Samuel can always, you know, be used as a running back or a receiver. And then you got George Kittle and so forth. So, it's just the best two teams in the NFC meeting each other.
Maybe the best two teams
come
in football
on a 12-game winning streak.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. No, I can't wait for it. I think it's going to be two teams, Craig, that I don't really care for very much, but I think they're going to play one whale of a game. I was interested that this line started off at 2.5. This seemed like a game to me that Philadelphia would be a 3-point favorite. It's interesting to me that it started off at 2.5, and I think is still there. Right now it's 2.5 Philadelphia. I guess the people in Vegas, Craig, are not asking me to set any lines anytime soon, but I was kind of surprised that it was below 3, because I figured with the line being below 3, that would attract a lot of Philadelphia money. The thought being, well, they're on their home field, they've got the better quarterback, they just killed the Giants. Surely they can beat, you know, if they win, they're going to win by a field goal. So that's interesting to me. Mark has a lot better perspective on that. Maybe he could offer with us at 11, but I'm just saying this seemed like a game that would start off at 3 points and then be adjusted, you know, however the money went. The fact that it started off at 2.5, or at least that's the first line I saw, that was interesting to me. It's almost like Vegas is saying, hey, don't just assume Philadelphia is going to win this game. San Francisco could very well go in there and win.
That's exactly what I see him saying. I mean, if you assume the old adage, you know, the 3 for the home field, well then – maybe Vegas is saying they think San Fran has slightly the better team.
Right.
Just like on the other case with Kansas City being only a slight favorite, under a 3-point favorite. What is it, 1.5, something like that?
Yes, 1.5, yes.
Favored by. Well, then, so they're saying, you know, well, maybe Cincinnati is the slightly better team, and I'm sure they're factoring the Mahomes
injury
into that line.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
AFC Championship game, same as it was last year. And talk about a fixture. I mean, Kansas City hosting
five
AFC
in a row.
Championship game. Yeah, for an NFL record, fifth consecutive season.
You know, that's interesting, Craig. I knew it was five in a row. I'd forgotten they hosted it five in a row.
Hosting,
That's really, especially in this day and age with the salary cap and with the talent so much spread. You know, you would have thought that, like, for example, those great 49ers teams in the 80s, might have, been able to, host five in a row, or some of those Steelers teams in the 70s. You know, it seemed like, I know they won back-to-back championships twice, but they had a couple of years in between there, or 1 year in between, I think. But no, it was 2 years, 76, 77. Anyway. That's incredible when you
two
think
years
about
in between. Yeah,
yeah, 2 years in between,
2 years and then one, two more years.
Yeah, four out of six. So I knew they had been in five in a row. I'd kind of forgotten they had hosted five in a row, Craig.
Well, and the Bengals have beaten the Chiefs three straight times, including the AFC Championship game last year where they came from 18 down. Chiefs beat Jacksonville 27-20. Mahomes' injury, that's been the big subject. But yesterday he met the media, said,
all's well.
All is well. He goes, right. Yeah. So he was listed as a full participant yesterday in practice, had practiced the day before on Wednesday. So anyway, and so when he said all is well, you just tend to think that a little more money. I mean, I know the line was already starting to swing after, opening did it open with Kansas City and then Cincinnati, or did it open with Cincinnati?
No,
Cincinnati
I think,
was favored at one time.
I think it opened with Kansas City as a small favorite. Matter of fact, I think I mentioned this the other day. I get these emails from Jimmy Shapiro with betonline.ag, and usually on Sunday night, Craig, during the season, he'll send out an email on the next week's lines, the next week's Monday night game, whatever may not be out. But, I mean, the point is, Sunday night, he sends out this email, and in the email, said that the line had changed like two or three times while he was literally composing the email to blast out to everybody who's on this list. So the point is, it started off Kansas City, I want to say 2.5 somewhere in there, and went down and down, and then it flipped over to Cincinnati, and then it has come back to Kansas City. So what I'm saying is, the people that work in Vegas and or offshore and do this for a living, this has been one of the more volatile point spreads that we've seen, really maybe ever. That's how much this line has shifted and changed. Right now, I think it's Kansas City given 1.5.
Well, and the key on Mahomes is, as we talked about yesterday, how many plays that he makes outside of the pocket,
sure.
Right, Matt?
Yeah.
And so will the limited mobility, he can play and so forth. Will they have to scale back the offense because, he doesn't have the ability to make the plays outside the pocket that he normally makes? I don't know. That's, to me, after he got hurt last week, he didn't have one throw outside the pocket. Now,
yeah.
That was last week right after he got hurt. But that's obviously – going to be a big factor. You got Joe Burrow going up against that Chiefs defense, which I think Spagnuolo does a great job.
Well, you talked about Chris Jones yesterday, and I believe, Craig, you said he is who you would have voted for defensive MVP of the league, and I cannot argue with you. I think I would have voted for Bosa, but if you want to tell me Chris Jones is the best defensive player in the league, you're not going to get an argument from me.
Yeah, well, I didn't say. I mean, I didn't say I'd vote for him as the best, defensive player. But I gave that stat where he had more pressures. I mean, like 20 more,
right.
I mean, than any other, defensive tackle. But then you got the defensive end, Frank Clark there. you know, to me, it's Chase against these Kansas City cornerbacks, and Chase has just lit them up.
I'll take Jamar Chase. I would agree, Craig.
Yeah. 24 catches, 417 yards, 4 touchdowns in 3 games against Kansas City, all right, including the playoffs during this 3-game winning streak. Burrow, 982 yards, 8 touchdowns, only 1 interception in those 3 games. 8 touchdowns, 1 interception, and 3 games against the Chiefs. Again, is it asking too much to beat a team like Kansas City 4 in a row and to do it in Arrowhead? Did you hear that they were calling it Burrowhead so forth? And,
yes, and I did.
I saw they did a little cut of the Kelce's podcast, you know, and Travis Kelce definitely bringing that up, you know.
Oh, sure. You bet.
But anyway, and then on the other side, you got the Bengals defense against Mahomes and the Chiefs offense that is number one in total offense, number one in passing offense. They've averaged more points per game during the regular season than anyone else. They got Andy Reid, calling that, the plays and Mahomes and all of that. So, against, like we said, Lou Anarumo, what he's like to do is rush 3 guys and drop 8 defenders. That's been his plan against Kansas City. All right. During those games, those 3 games, the Bengals have had 6 sacks, 3 takeaways since 2021. But Kansas City, Matt, has had success running the football with this, Isaiah Pacheco. Now, McKinnon is used more in the passing game, but they've used him a lot. Mahomes has been very successful using McKinnon as a receiver. Now, I don't think he had a catch last week, but he's had, a bunch of success being used as a receiver. So I don't know. It's fascinating, Matt, again, in this one. I picked the Bengals before the playoffs started. I'm going to stay with the Bengals, but man, if Mahomes is healthy, it's hard to go against the Chiefs at home. Yeah.
Not for me. I don't think it's hard to go against the Chiefs at home. Because I don't believe that Mahomes is fully healthy. Look, I understand that a lot of the video that we saw of him at practice or whatever, he may have looked okay. Craig, I know adrenaline and he can get shot up and all that sort of thing. I don't know, Craig. I'm not buying it. I think you mentioned all the Chiefs' offensive numbers and they're all, they lit the league up as they always do. But that was with Mahomes able to make plays, scrambling and outside the pocket, like you just said. I'm not – maybe he'll be fine on Sunday. I'm just – call me a skeptic. Call me I don't like to think of myself as a conspiracy theorist, but I'm not buying it. I think we'll know early, Craig. I really do. I think we'll know. Just like last week, we knew kind of early in the game that Philadelphia was not going to be afraid to run Jalen Hurts or to at least, have the RPO in their game plan. I think we can know early in this game on Sunday – if there are circumstances where we are used to seeing Patrick Mahomes get outside the pocket and make plays either running or throwing on the run, if we don't see a lot of that early, I think we're going to know that ankle's bothering him. I don't wish it on anybody. I hope he's healthy, but I'm not convinced, Craig. I just don't know that you can get hurt that bad. I know he toughed through the game last week, Craig, but I don't know. Let's just say I'm skeptical on how healthy he is.
So if you're guessing, where would you put it on Mahomes? Because I did buy – I don't know, Matt. To me, you can either lie about it, and it didn't look like that was the case. You could say, we're not even going to talk about it, Or you could do what Mahomes did. And Mahomes, it just felt to me like he was kind of telling the truth. I would peg it that – maybe 75, 80%, somewhere in that range. I mean, just from because it's got to be hurting him.
Yes.
He's not going to be 100. I'm not saying he's going to be 100%.
Right.
But I believed him when basically he was saying, it was better than I thought it would be.
Well, I can buy into that specific statement that it was better than I thought it would be. But that particular statement, Craig, for me, does not tell me how good it is. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Again, I tend to be skeptical when I hear coaches and players talk about this. You know, I mean, of course he's not going to come out and say, yeah, I'm really hurting. Hopefully the Bengals won't try to twist my ankle around. I mean, we're not going to hear that, obviously. So I guess what I'm saying is I have that much respect for Patrick Mahomes' ability to make plays, you know, getting outside the pocket and scrambling, either whether it's running the ball or throwing the ball on the run, and his ability to improvise. I mean, you can improvise a lot better outside the pocket. You know, inside the pocket, you tend to, you know, really kind of stick with, you know, your route tree or whatever. So, going on the road doesn't scare me, not with these Bengals. I mean, you know, how many road games, you know, in tough environments do they have to win before, you know, that doesn't really bother me. The fact that this is only a 1.5-point line would suggest that on a neutral field, Vegas believes that Cincinnati is the better team, particularly with the Mahomes injury. I like Cincinnati. I like Cincinnati to win the game.
Well, from week 9 until last week's divisional playoff win, Patrick Mahomes targeted McKinnon 54 times, all right? Well, and they connected 43 out of those 54 times. That's pretty good for 8 touchdowns through the air. Not bad. That was just from week 9 until last week's divisional win, all right? But Pacheco, like we said, still the primary ball carrier as far as running the football. But last week, McKinnon had a season-high 11 rushes for only 25 yards, but he didn't get a single target last week, which that's pretty crazy to me, given all those numbers we just gave you.
Yeah, and it'll
first
be
first time that's happened all season, snapped a streak of 7 straight games with a touchdown. Then he had a touchdown in 7 straight. So
it'd be interesting to see. Surely the Chiefs will address that this week, I would think.
Probably so. No, I'm with you. No, listen, I've been on Cincinnati. I'm not going to change now. You know, I'm just saying that if Mahomes is healthy, this is going to be quite a battle.
It makes a massive – it'll probably be quite a battle even with him being banged up. But I cannot, at least from in my opinion, I cannot overemphasize his ability to improvise on the run. I think with him, it makes a massive difference. I mean, just, you know, we've been watching this guy long enough to know.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
I'm not crazy about either one of these teams, and just the way the game finished, Jaylen Brown missing these foul shots at the end. But the Knicks should have put this game away. They had a 13-point lead with about 8 minutes to go, and we're reminded why the Knicks aren't one of the top teams in the East, because they just take too many bad shots. You look at it, they only had 10 turnovers for the game, but they had a couple of key turnovers and key situations. Jalen Brunson has helped them, and he definitely settles them down a lot, and he hit some big shots for them. Julius Randle just had a great night just shooting the ball in general last night, knocked down 5 threes. He scored 37, made his foul shots near the finish. So, but R.J. Barrett, I'm not a huge fan of. He goes 6 out of 18. Quickly is good for them off the bench. I even saw where Phoenix might be interested in making a trade for Emmanuel Quickly, but I don't know, Matt. It just, you know, the Knicks should have won this game easily, and they let the Celtics back into the game. But then the Celtics, when they had a chance to win the game, Matt, Jason Tatum had a really good look at the end of the game to win the game, and he had 35 and 14. So it's hard to say, well, Jason Tatum had a terrible night. No, he had 35 and 14, but the shot that he needed to make to win the game, he missed that one. Jaylen Brown, when he needed to make a couple of foul shots to win the game, he missed both of them. And Brown goes 8 for 22 and 1 for 8. And afterward, he said, you know, he took the blame and so forth. And I like Jaylen Brown. I think on a lot of nights he's actually even better than Jason Tatum, but he wasn't last night. Brogdon was a great pickup for them. Normally helps them off the bench. He had a terrible night last night, goes 4 for 14, 2 for 7 from 3. So there were a lot of reasons why the Celtics lost that game. But now they've lost 3 in a row, Matt, after they had won 9 in a row right before this three-game losing streak. So they battled back, cut a 13-point deficit where they had a chance to win the game. They still have the best record in the NBA. But now they're only one game up on the Sixers in the loss column, Matt. So
interesting what you said there at the beginning. You said you're not crazy about the Celtics. At the best record in basketball.
Record in basketball. Because of the things that I just talked about. Their two best players had the game in their hands. One missing two foul shots. Tatum missing a shot. There's some things I don't like about that team. I know they're playing without Marcus Smart right now.
Right.
Basically they got Williams back. They had Horford. I mean, they're pretty whole outside of not having, Marcus Smart. I'm just saying that I just don't fully trust, especially the two stars. I mean, Tatum and Brown.
Well, Jaylen Brown's got to shoot the ball better than he did last night.
Jaylen Brown. He steps to line with two foul shots.
Yeah,
to put him up by one, misses both of them. They still rank third overall in offensive rating, fifth in defensive rating, but they're only 22nd. In the league in offensive rating since early December. That's a stretch of 24 games where they've only gone 14-10. So for the last 24 games, they got the seventh best record in the East during that time, but they've had a lot of injuries during that time. So, hey, they're still one of the best teams in the East. I'm just saying, you watched that game last night, and it tells you why the Knicks are who they are, and it tells you that the Celtics, maybe best record in basketball, but they still have, some definite flaws.
They're not the 85 Lakers. I'm not saying they're, the complete package, but
then the late game last night, Matt, we had the Phoenix Suns against the Dallas Mavs, and Phoenix is starting to get whole again, although they still don't have Devin Booker. I mean, that's the big missing piece.
Yes.
Chris Paul, I thought, looked really good last night. You keep seeing reports. I mean, he's been injured more and he's getting older. But last night, you couldn't tell. 22-10 last night. He was really good. But Cameron Johnson goes for 22 points on only 12 shots, knocked down 5 out of 7 threes last night. The pluses on the for the Phoenix Suns. But the Phoenix Suns are sitting there after 50 games, and they're only .500. Now, granted, tons of injuries. For Dallas, they lose Luka in the first quarter of that game, stepped on an opposing player's foot, turned the ankle. We'll have to see how he didn't come back into the game. So for the game, he only took two shots, didn't even score, only played 3 minutes and 21 seconds. Happened right off the bat. But for Dallas, it was amazing. So Dinwiddie just said, okay, this is my night. Luka's gone now. And Dinwiddie just took over that game. Now, maybe had a little luck at the end, banked in a three from the left wing near the end, but he makes 5 out of 6 threes, 11 out of 14 from the line, 36 points. He was absolutely fantastic. On his on-court interview after the game, he insisted Dwight Powell come in, and Powell was really good with 15. But we look at this Dallas team and we say, okay, Luka's too ball dominant. They got to have more consistency from either Hardaway, Dinwiddie, Finney-Smith. Well, all these guys were pretty darn good last night. Finney-Smith had 18 points and 12 rebounds, and Dallas gets a road victory. But again, they did it without Luka, and that's the big news to come out of that one. The Clippers got an easy win over San Antonio late. Detroit beat the Nets. Boy, the Nets are just, going in the tank without Durant. Kyrie, though, had another. He had 40 more last night. He is just filling it up. And Claxton goes 11 for 13. What did we say? He was 11 for 12 or something the night before. But he had 27 and 13. But they lose to the Pistons at home to the Pistons last night. Anyway, and also the other thing to mention from the NBA yesterday, we had the All-Star starters, at least, named yesterday. It's going to be LeBron and Antetokounmpo are going to be the captains. LeBron, now, he's been the captain all 6 years that the NBA has used this format with the two captains. Antetokounmpo, a captain for the third time. He did it back in 19 and 20. Then Durant's been the captain the last couple of years. Durant, coming off the injury, was still voted a starter. So you got Antetokounmpo and Durant and Tatum.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.